Okay, so this is the Stimson Marquis Clan. Let me try that again. Okay, this is the Stimson Marquis Clan. Coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona, in Mesa.
Mesa, Arizona. Mesa.
Okay, Mesa, Arizona. Having our family vacation.
Woo-hoo.
And we just got done with a day of activities. Oh, by the way, this is the intro to the San Carlos Computer Club from August 10th.
It's definitely August.
It is August, you're right. This is the intro from the San Carlos Computer Club, August 10th, last Tuesday. So what do we do today?
It was an awesome day. Did Lego World, Emporium. Love the Emporium.
Yeah. We ate Chinese food.
Fish, bricks, and Chinese food. It couldn't have been a better day. We started the day with Free Guy, which will be the recommendation for tomorrow's Computer Club, because it was an awesome film.
It was a great film.
It was really fun.
So, to add icing to the cake of the day we had today, your mom and I have come up with a plan for tomorrow and the next.
What are the days? What are the plans? How many days are we...
So, we're going to go to Tombstone.
What is Tombstone?
Cowboy town.
Oh, no.
It's a cowboy town. It's a famous cowboy town.
I'm not ready for some yippee-ki-yay stuff.
Well, get ready for it. We're going to be staying at a hotel that's in the middle of the cowboy town, all motifed in the rustic year of the turn of the century, a saloon, restaurant, but there is a pool and there's free Wi-Fi. Stay on topic, bring your cowboy hat, we're going to Cowboy Town. We will leave here in the morning and we will get there and we'll explore Cowboy Town, find our room, stay the night, and do the Computer Club. Do the Computer Club in the morning.
In Cowboy Town. What are your comments?
We're happy to have a plan. We're going to stay in Cowboy Town Tombstone. We're going to stay in Tombstone.
Cowboy Town.
Cowboy, it is officially now Cowboy Town.
In the Simpsons clan, it is Cowboy, I can't curse. It is,
are you having trouble working?
Nice.
You've all heard that. We're going to Cowboy Town tomorrow, and then the next day we're doing Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson, your host from International Computer Solutions. This is...
Emily Stimson, the favorite child.
This is...
Viviana Stimson, I'm just here.
And this is...
The mom, very tired mom.
Ready to go to bed. Okay, guys, thank you for your participation. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club intro for August 10th, 2021. Until next meeting, tech on!
Cowboy Town.
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 Get a hammer.
Yeah, that might be my only solution. But I think I'm ready to go. I got my coffee.
You got TV going behind you.
I got TV going behind me. That's Rogue One. Oh boy, I hope I don't get pulled off of YouTube because I've got it going on in behind me.
Who's watching it?
Yeah, you are. What went on here? Why aren't you moving?
So you had an Olympic star from Alaska.
Behind me. Yeah. I'm a bad Alaskan. I haven't paid any attention. I think, was it for weightlifting?
No, she was a swimmer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And there was only 100-meter pool in Alaska. They were all amazed that she could learn to swim so fast.
And with only one Olympic-sized swimming pool? That'd have to be an Anchorage.
Yeah, available.
Doing it for the A, Alaska's first Olympic swimmer wins gold. It's actually an old article. This is from the 27th.
Yeah, that's what we've been watching most for the last 3 weeks is Olympics. So.
Lydia Jacobs, the United States gold medal finalist, 100-meter breaststroke. Well, there was another medalist from Mexico. So you guys have two ties to medalists.
Yeah.
Maybe, I bet it was the Mexicans that I'm thinking of was weightlifters.
Yeah.
Team Mexico medals by sport. Well, take your time, computer. Three bronze medal. Archery, mixed team, women's, what is it? Diving. Football and weightlifting. Yeah, women's weightlifting. I thought they had gotten a bronze for that.
Probably a pretty chunky chica.
I did see a picture of her. She was not a little girl. I'm adding Olympic topics to our document. Well, why not?
There's Judy's eyes coming in. I saw that.
Judy's here.
I can see Cheryl's lips moving, but I don't hear a thing.
I don't think she wants to talk to us yet.
I was talking a lot with Bill. But...
I see Bill, too.
Ooh, that was ugly.
The Olympics were really good. I think Japan did an amazing job.
Hosting them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fortunately, I mean, it's, the COVID was unfortunate, but they had an extra year to perfect their facilities.
Exactly. We've been under air quality alerts for a couple of weeks now because of the smoke from the Western fires. It's supposed to blow out of here on Thursday.
Well, that'll be good.
Yeah, maybe. I hope it happens.
We blame it on California.
It is California.
It's always California.
I think we even have 4 or 5 going here in Colorado, so...
Does anybody need the link to the shared document? There isn't much in it. I just added some Olympic topics.
Sure.
Where did I put my meat? There we are. There's the doc. And this following link is the link that we're going to use in case we get disconnected.
The TWK or whatever that is link.
I believe so. TXK. Actually, this is a different link because I didn't have the other link. I lost it.
And what's above that? I see the docs one, but I can't click on it.
What happens if you click on it?
I can click on the new meeting, and it says it's ongoing for 3 minutes.
What?
I don't know quite what's going on. Yeah.
Why would that say ongoing?
I don't know, but I can see it.
Are you sure you're looking at the right one? TXKPSKZ?
Uh-huh. And it says it's been on for 3 minutes.
Are you in it? Because no one should join it yet.
I was. Now I'm back in this one.
You should be sitting at a join now and wait.
No, I'm not. Let me see what it does if I click on it. Hold on. It says join.
Okay, so you're just waiting.
But it also, okay, so I'm out of that one. Now I'm going to try and click on the docs link. And nothing happens.
It takes a while.
No, nothing happens.
It should open in a separate tab. I just did it.
Yeah, I know. I can't.
Got to be that damn
there it goes.
Macintosh
no,
technology.
No, it opened the TXT again.
What is a TXT?
That's the other link.
Well, there's...
For the other meeting.
Yeah, there's 2 links there right in a row.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have done that.
I see him. And when I click on the first one, the docs.google.com, nothing happens.
That's weird. What browser are you in?
Probably Google.
I don't know. If you look at my screen, if I just click on the link, it opens up the document in a separate tab.
Oops. Nothing. There it is. Weird. There's Chester.
Good morning.
Morning, Chester.
Good morning.
We were just sorting out our backup plan and the document we're using to share topics. If you look in the chat message, there is a link for if we get disconnected. I'm going to send it again now since you just joined. Everybody's still there. Did I lose everybody? Hello? Hello?
In call message.
Hello.
I can hear you.
Okay, I got disconnected for a moment there. I think I'm at the mercy of whatever the internet's doing on my end again.
Where are you?
I'm still in Alaska. This will be the last Computer Club meeting from Alaska. I'm sitting in what we call the Russian room. I was here last week. It just worked.
Until next summer.
It worked so well last week that I decided to use it again.
Document open. I can open it from the original email that you sent.
Okay, well, you got it then. I don't know why it wouldn't open from that link, but this is all that matters is you've got a copy of it.
Does my iPhone or iPad have Pegasus spyware? I don't either.
It opens for me.
Does
it? I'm in Chrome.
Yeah, I'm in Chrome as well.
Okay. Does my iPhone or iPad have Pegasus? That's what I thought I was in, but I don't know.
That's one of the topics. You should have a Verge topic.
I'm amazing. I see that.
And I added some Olympic topics because we were just talking about it.
I've got, that's on, that added into the shared document from that original email.
Good. It's all the same document, so it should be. And right. If Chester, you just
Team
joined
Mexico.
Us, here's the next link I put in the chat there is this document we're talking about. If you want to see this document of possible topic. And it looks like we're about to get rolling. There's something going on with my computer because everything's just on a delay for some reason. But hello and welcome. I am Scott Stimson, your host from International Computer Solutions, here with the San Carlos Computer Club. Welcome, August 10th, Tuesday, where we meet and discuss the tech topics of the day. How are you guys doing today?
Very good.
We
very good.
We have a document of topics that we can go to, but I hope that you guys have brought your own topics with you. And just off the top of the meeting, does anybody have any topics that they feel like they want to share or must share, any experiences that we need to know about? It looks like Cheryl is still in a family conversation. We had started, Paul and I were talking about the Olympics a little bit, and in this document, I've put a link. We had an Alaskan swimmer win a gold, and the Mexican team took 3 bronzes, and I put links to those articles in the document that we've been sharing if you guys are interested in that. Hello, Linda. Welcome.
Hi, Linda. You're muted.
Welcome, everybody.
We were just getting started. I'm having some of my own technical problems on this end.
Hey, Judy.
Hi, Linda. Where are you?
In Green Valley.
Yeah.
Linda, I'm passing the link in case we get disconnected from this meeting, because we will get disconnected. If you look in the in-call chat, you'll find a link to the next meeting we'll move to if we get disconnected.
I don't know where you're talking about.
You know, I have 3 little dots and you click on those, but that's a Mac.
Yeah, you want to go with the chat with everyone. Look at what's in the chat and you should find a link to the next meeting in case we get disconnected.
No, when we get disconnected.
I'm sorry, you're right. Yeah, when we get disconnected, because we're definitely going to get disconnected.
That's for meeting.2.
Tell us how to get to the screen from where we are.
I have a speech balloon down on the bottom right-hand corner, and it's got lines in it, and it's got a little blue dot. When I click on that, it opens up a whole list of everything that's been put into the chat.
Well, and the only
Once
thing
I'm there,
is, it's a list of the things that have been put in the chat since you arrived. So if you open up the chat window and there's nothing there, then you arrived after we shared it and we have to share it with you again, or we have to share it again. Sorry, Cheryl. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. And so the next meeting code ends in a BDN. And what I do is I just click on the link and it opens in another tab. So across the top of my computer, like I'm in a browser, I'm in Google Chrome. Across the top, I have my email open, I have this meeting open, and then the next one says meeting TXKPSKZ, you know, a little code. And I can flip between the two by putting my mouse across. I click on the other meeting and it says, are you ready to join? I'm not going to join that one until this one disappears. And mine on a Mac is nothing like that.
Yeah.
But are you guys in Chrome? What are you in, Chester?
I'm in Chrome, but I got lost from the very beginning.
Yeah. Do you have tabs across the top? Like, do you have other things open?
Yes, I do.
You've got
the normal tabs that you're always there.
Sure. But Chester,
I think he needs to go down to the bottom again and click on the little speech balloon.
Beach balloon.
Yeah, so
beach.
you're in the
beach
meet, down at the bottom where the hang up button is, the big red button, 3 to the right. There's a bubble, like a speech bubble. Second from the left of the, I don't know, in the lower right hand corner, second from the left.
And then you click on that.
Yeah, okay. In call messages.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got it.
And so there's
a link.
And now you should be set up when we get disconnected from this meet. We can just switch over to that meet.
Okay, I said 4 different ones. Which one
They're
do
all
I
the same.
They could all be the same.
The last one.
Oh, okay. Got it. I know where we are.
All right.
Thanks.
But the only thing is, Chester, you have to click on one of those before this meeting ends, otherwise you won't be able to get back to it. So
okay.
It'd be best to click on it right now, and then it'll open in another tab.
Oh, okay. I did that.
Yeah, and it'll just be sitting there waiting in another tab for you to switch to.
So I'll shrink it.
Okay.
Yeah, to keep it out of your way, whatever is normal for you.
Got it.
Okay, so it just has your picture, and it says ready to join.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
That's right. Yeah, we're just waiting for it to... When we get disconnected from this meet, because if anybody here is not aware, Google Meet is shutting us down after an hour, and I've already had this running for a while. So it's going to give you a countdown timer in the lower right-hand corner. It's going to give you a message saying you got 5 minutes, and then after 5 minutes, it's going to give you like a 60-second countdown, and then we'll move over to the other meet.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it.
And
okay, so Scott, did you see the email I sent you?
I did. I didn't get a chance to read through it. Are you ready to tell us about the article?
Well, it's just about some virus for Apple products.
A malware that's going around.
Correct.
But I clicked on that link, and you have to do quite a bit of stuff to go through that.
What do you mean on
the
CNET?
Document link? Yeah. So when you click on that CNET link, find out for free. I mean, you have to go through quite a bit of stuff.
I don't know. I got it right here.
Oh, yeah, I know. I can read them. But it says, download and install the iMazing app, blah, 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 blah,
what
blah,
is
blah, blah.
iMazing?
I don't know, but I would never do that.
I don't see that at all, Judy. I think maybe something's going on with your web browser.
I'm looking at the article. No. I'm looking at the article. Does your iPhone or iPad have Pegasus software? Find out for free. Then you move down and move down and move down. And then you get to download
iMazing.
You know,
app on your Mac or PC.
No, thank you.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't like that. I wouldn't do that. And then you have to, once that's installed and running, then you have to detect spyware. I mean, I wouldn't do any of that stuff.
Well, I would do that with Malware Bytes, but I've never heard of this iMazing.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't do that. I think that's a...
But it is,
I don't know.
It is CNET, which gives it some validity.
Mm-hmm. But it's a iMazing never heard of, so...
Yeah, I think I would want to do some research on iMazing before I was... Just sticking
right,
it into my...
I wouldn't do that.
You know what's interesting about this link, and I'm sorry, Linda, I didn't get a chance to read any of this before our meeting, though I did put it in our notes, is that...
I just read a little bit seeing that it was on iPhones and it was a spyware, so that's all. I didn't really read down into it because I don't have Apple products, so...
Well, it looks like this is a whole bunch of articles that are based on this Pegasus thing. I'll read through it and be better informed for next week. And I'll just hang on to this. Because I tend to agree with Judy. I've never heard of iMazing. I wouldn't be so quick to just install it in my computer.
Right.
I only feel comfortable with the things that I've had experience with. But it could be a decent program. I hadn't even heard of this Pegasus. Has anybody had that pop up on their radar? I haven't heard it on mainstream media or anything.
Mm-mm.
There's so many threats being released weekly that it's impossible to keep up with.
Well, I just Googled it, and it says, get iMazing for Mac and PC. Get a trusted software. Powerful, user-friendly iMazing is simply the best iOS device manager. Trusted by experts, 10 million users.
Well, you read it on the internet, so it must be true.
Yeah.
That sounds like all the things I'd want to hear about a package. It's
okay, so 1 hour ago from Lifehacker, it says how to tell if your iPhone or iPad is infected with Pegasus spyware.
How do you tell?
I don't know. It's just an article on Lifehacker.
Well, both CNET and Lifehacker are trusted sources for information. I would expect that if it came out of Lifehacker or it came out of CNET, that either they've been hacked or it is legitimate information. Just right off the bat, I would assume that.
Always call Apple and ask them.
I think maybe if CNET is saying iMazing is the solution, then my first inclination would be to Google iMazing and find a bunch of independent sources saying this is a great program, just like you're doing, but I wouldn't get the information from iMazing. I would get it from people out there reviewing the product. Make sure people have had good experiences with it before I went ahead and installed it. I mean, we have to learn about new products in some form, and sometimes it's like this. Sometimes there's a product we've never heard of until we're being told we should use it to check and see if we've got viruses or to clean out something. I'm sure you guys have had that experience where maybe you're able to identify the virus. Maybe your antivirus told you the name of it, but then you were not able to get rid of it. It just kept coming back, and so you're on Google, Googling that virus, and you'll find somebody that's recommending a specific tool for that virus, and you've never heard of the tool. Well, if you have that experience, I'm not quick to just use the tool. I'll go and I'll find people that have already used the tool and have testimonies about their experiences before I use the tool.
Am I still on my microphone on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
So this is an article on the appletoolbox.com, and it says it's the scariest hack ever.
Wow. See, and I've not paid any attention. So the scariest hack ever because of why? Here I thought we were going to be talking about Apple's facial recognition for child porn, and now we're talking about malware that I didn't even know existed.
It's until. Pegasus. Pegasus is the name of malware developed by a group known as NSO, and it's capable of infecting major smartphone devices, the 11 and 12, and most Android smartphones. Once a device has been infected, Pegasus gains access to root permissions for the device, and that includes cameras, microphones, messaging apps, emails, photos, videos, phone calls, blah, 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 blah. So they were able to spy on users. But it's also for Android devices, too. Apple and Google and other device manufacturers did not knowingly participate in the Pegasus scandal. Based on the best investigative journalism conducted at this time, it doesn't look like any of those major tech companies had anything to do with that. So
they must be under contract with the federal government.
Right. You should be personally concerned about the effects of Pegasus, regardless of nationality, if you hold political office or a journalist, hold political influence, or a member of the military or work for the government. So this is that one that's been going on that they say that they've been able to hack into journalists' information.
Yes, I've been following a little bit of that news.
Well, yeah, so that's Pegasus. It says the data that was uncovered and leaked by the journalists who investigated the story shows roughly 50,000 individuals who were affected by the scandal. So I don't know that I don't work for the government and I'm not a journalist. So this particular time, I don't think it's something that I would.
Judy, what we call that is security through obscurity. They can compromise your phone. They just don't have any reason to.
And why would they care what I talk about?
Right. In this instance, really? you're secure because you're just boring and basic and nobody wants your information.
Exactly.
There's something to be said.
We did talk about this, Scott. We talked about this Pegasus before. I don't know whether it was named as such, but we talked about the journalists.
You're right, we did. I don't remember knowing the name Pegasus, though.
I don't know either, but we did talk about the journalist part of it.
It sounds familiar.
Yes.
Hey, Judy, can you stick a link to that article in our chat?
Sure, I think so. Hold on. How do I do that? Let me find the link.
So what you
and I want to
yeah copy
I got
and paste.
The link. Oops, that's not the right one. That's CNET. That I was on Firefox to do that one. Okay.
Well, you can copy stick it right in the document there if you want. I see you're in the document. Go ahead and stick it in the document.
I haven't figured out how to do it though.
Okay. Just paste it in the chat and I'll stick it in the document.
No, why? I don't want to do that. See, I don't. Where is the? Oh, there's the link. Okay. Copy.
Because what you're describing sounds like malware that could be used to compromise any of us. It's just it just wasn't pointed at any of us. There it is. Awesome.
So while you're doing all that, I just wanted to let you all know that I got my new iPad Pro. I went ahead and got the Pro.
Oh, boy.
But I didn't get the gigantic one. I just got the 11-inch one. And the transfer was very easy. They actually did it for me. I ordered my iPad online. I had it shipped to the store because I could do that next day. I picked it up at the store and then walked back to a table and they assisted the transfer of everything off off my old one to my new one. In all, it was a 2-hour process, and I only had to spend another hour on the phone with Apple because one of the things, I wasn't getting notifications on my new, just a setting that didn't transfer over for some reason, so it was pretty easy.
I had an interesting 3 hours with Apple this week as well. My iPhone locked up and basically crashed. I couldn't get it to turn on. All I could get was the little Apple logo at the first screen. So we checked on, you know, Google and what can you do? And 6S, you hold down the start button and the power button and you hold them down together and it's supposed to, you know, come back up. Well, no, that didn't quite work. So anyways, I got a hold of the Apple Care and they, I guess it was Apple Care. Anyways, I got this really nice young man on the phone and he said, do you have a Mac computer that, you know, we can get back to get to your backups and all this kind of stuff? I said, no, we only have iPhones. And turned out that Bill had on his laptop iTunes.
Yep.
So he was able to use the iTunes to link to my phone or to link to Bill's computer. And then through that, my login, because I knew what my iCloud login was on my phone. And so we were able to bring it back up to 6:30 the previous night. So I lost a few things, but not much. But I'm still trying to reset up my phone, you know, 5 days later.
But couldn't you have done it through your new iPad?
Well, we have not started the new iPad. My granddaughter says to me, why do you have a box here with a brand new iPad in it? So, no, we've had our own little adventure for the last 5 days. So,
Did you have to physically plug your phone into Bill's computer?
Yes.
Yeah. And actually, so the phone, what was happening when you turned it on? What was happening?
All it would do is go to the Apple.
And it would go back to the Apple?
Yeah. It wouldn't do anything. Okay. And so he downloaded something. It took about an hour to get it all on. He stayed on the phone with me, you know.
We sat
there and did other things. But it took a good hour after he started downloading it. And then it glitched. And so then he had to start again. But he only had to start again from a certain point. And
yeah.
I don't know what all was going on.
It sounds like what you were doing is you were restoring the iPhone's firmware from the latest version that's available online. And then restoring your backup from iCloud, which is a very common way to solve those kinds of problems. And that amount of time it took is very common, too. And glitching out and having to start again is very common as well. Those are all just normal ways of fixing an iDevice problem.
It was the first time it had ever happened to me. And I said to him, you know, what could have caused this? And he said, there's absolutely no way he could ever troubleshoot back to see what event or what happened.
Yeah, it could have just, for whatever reason, a bit could have gotten flipped. It could be a magnetic, could be an electric impulse. It could be whatever it might take, but all it has to be is the right bit, and it's causing you problems. And the best and easiest solution is to just restore the firmware, restore the operating system in it. If you think about it, yes, Bill.
I always explained it as it was just a stray neutrino that come through the wrong spot.
Yeah, there you go. They're fallible machines and they're very complex. And so all you have to do is have a failure in the right spot and it's unrecoverable. Somebody, I think was Judy, somebody mentioned why didn't you use your new iPad. You actually can't do that activity from your new iPad. I haven't thought about it until now, but I don't believe there's any way that you can transfer the firmware from your iPad. I mean, let me restate that so that it's correct. There's no way that you could transfer the iPhone's firmware using your iPad. I don't know of any system that exists to do that at the moment.
Because you can't plug them in together.
Well, you can. At this moment, with the latest operating system, you can plug them together. But I don't think they do anything yet. So you can plug firmware, you can plug like jump drives in and get files off of USB drives. You're supposed to be able to plug hard drives in, but I've seen that people are making lists of the hard drives that are compatible. Because
my new iPad does not have a place to plug any of that stuff in.
Well, you need a docking station for it. You have,
oh, okay.
Yeah, you have the one connector, and you need to plug into a station that includes a USB connection. And then you can plug...
Like Bill's computer. Yeah.
That's right. That's
so the other thing about my new iPad is that, you know, those nice little magnetic devices...
Yes.
They do not work with the USB-C connection, which is what is on the new iPad.
Oh, you need to get new connectors.
Well, they don't even have them at the company I bought because I emailed them.
I wish we'd bought the same one because I got a bunch of USB-Cs. We've only got one USB-C device in our life.
But this is a brand new type of USB-C as I understand it.
You know, it doesn't matter for charging because that's what we're using those magnetic cables for. Is charging. Mm-hmm. But you're right. The new USB-C is actually Thunderbolt 4.
Yes.
Which is more compatible, not less. It is much more compatible. Apple.
Because I had USB-C connectors in that little packet that I bought and they will not plug in.
They won't charge.
No, they will not plug into the port.
Are you sure it's USB-C? Which one do you have? The iPad Pro? iPad.
11-inch.
Pro 11-inch.
3 minutes, everyone. 3 minutes.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's on the bottom of the meeting right now. Port. Let's see what this says.
Yeah, a little clock.
4 minutes.
I have that.
Yeah, it is USB-C. Right corner, a little clock.
Judy, what makes you think those don't fit?
Because I tried to plug them in.
They should fit.
And they did not.
No, I mean,
But the company that I bought it from, when I emailed them, they said, no, they will not work.
So what? So there must be something about the clearance, because the standard is standard. Like the USB connector standard is a standard. And so there must be something about clearance that's not allowing it to fit, because it should physically connect together. When I say clearance, I mean like I've got some cables that have elbow connectors on them and they physically can't.
No, these are those flat ones.
Yeah,
and they said to me, if I can find it real quick before we get cinch forces where I bought mine. Correction. Unfortunately, the cable uses the standard USB type A connector to connect.
Ah, they're talking about the other end.
The cable will not fit your USB-C power adapter.
Yeah, okay, so they're talking about the other end.
The that plugs into the wall,
that's
that
right
part.
That's the end they're talking about. Any charger you've used for USB-A in the past will still work.
Hmm. Well, the cord is a lot heavier than on my previous iPad. You know, the USB cable is a lot
bigger. Lightning connector.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it time that we should switch over?
In just a moment, but I would just want to make the distinction. So what you're talking about is this end right here, because what they're saying is you're not going to be able to plug this into your computer or your new iPad because it's got a USB-C and this is a USB-A. But all we're concerned about is charging in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so this will still plug into whatever you were plugging into before for charging.
I could not get it to plug into my new iPad on the iPad itself.
Okay, and that, and what?
Where is it? Where's the camera? Where do I find the camera here? I see my hand. Yeah. I don't see the... There it is.
There we go.
It looked the same.
So that's USB-C.
And that's the part that plugs into my new iPad.
Yep. And that should be the same standard as the USB-C magnetic nubs.
That's
that
what
you
I
put.
Thought too. So I've
okay.
got
Okay. Our go call back. Is ending. That was a smooth transition.
We're back.
We're back. That was a very smooth transition. Good job, guys.
Except for Scott's not here.
What do you mean Scott's not here? Beautiful. You can't hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, there's something wrong with my microphone. Hold on a second.
It worked.
What do you mean, Scott? I'm right here.
Okay, I've got the new computer.
Yeah.
And USB-C.
Yeah.
And that's what the end of it looks like.
Right, just like mine on my new iPad.
Okay.
And you can plug it into... something, your old charger?
Yes. Well,
I have, what they have on here is I can't plug it in my old charger. They fixed the cord to the charger that they provided for the...
I think you can buy it separate if you want to, because I saw these little blocks.
Not only can you buy it separate, up until recently, I think it's the only way you can get a high amperage charger. I think they were like
$40 though.
Yeah. So what amperage is that? I'm betting it's at most a 3-amp charger.
Where would it tell me that?
I think someplace
in the fine print. Go ahead, Fred. Fred, you're muted.
Well, it could be on here, but I can't see it.
Well,
okay.
Oh, there's Fred.
Someplace I read that at least with the MacBook Pro, it's a 65 amp, and you could buy a 65 amp or 65 watt. I'm sorry.
65 watt.
You could buy a 65 watt. You have been able to for years, and it plugged in. All you'd have to do at that point is get another cable.
Right.
It had the C connector on the end of it.
I did buy an extra cable with mine because the one that comes with it is like 4 feet long or something,
mm-hmm.
3 feet long. So I bought a longer one because I think those are ridiculous, those little short ones. So,
Judy, I would imagine if you wanted to use your charger, if you wanted to use that nub, I imagine it's just stiff because it should fit.
Maybe. Yeah, I'll try it again.
What I know about my magnetic connectors for my Android, where's my, there we go. This,
they say 5 volt on them.
Well, 5 volt is correct, but what I know about my cables is with this standard, they don't guarantee more than 3 amps of current. So that is very low wattage. So charging time is very slow compared to what's possible now. Your new iPad most likely supports a 65 watt charger. And what that really means is a fast battery charger. You plug it in a half hour and you've got 80% of your battery charged. With the magnetic connectors, because they're only guaranteed, they're only rated for low current, then maybe it takes you a couple hours to charge the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? This is your new cable?
These were my cables. Cinch
you got that
swept.
Magnetic one?
Uh-huh.
Oh, they're slow. They're really slow. I have the magnetic. They're really slow to charge.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Right here on the back, it says rated for 9 volts, 2 amps. Yeah, see, it has a top of 3 amps. So it's slow to charge, which is common with these magnetic connectors. And with something like your iPad, you may want to be able to set it in the corner and have it charged in 30 minutes.
Right.
Or you might have a device, like I have a number of devices that can't charge fast. Like they just can't take advantage of a fast charger. So they're perfect for these magnetic connectors.
And I guess what confused me is on the back where it says compatible adapters type C iProduct. But then I thought that my type C might be a different kind of type C.
No, it should be physically the same form factor. Now, the one thing that you could run into is it does fit and you are connected and it won't charge it for you. And it might do that because of the charger that you have if it's not a standard Apple mm-hmm. charger. It might even be the cable. It might be that something, the iPad's able to look at the cable and go, well, this isn't the correct kind of cable. And just not charge it.
And that's what I think that Cinch Force was trying to tell me.
Oh, okay.
That their cable, you know, their magnetic end is on their cable.
Right, and it's the cable that's not qualifying for the Apple product.
That's what I think they were telling me. So,
but it should physically fit. You should be having mm-hmm. problems after it's been connected. Then you should be having those kinds of problems.
So I guess I'll just manually plug it in. It seems like a backward step from my magnetics.
Well, and the new iPhones support the wireless charging, which is even better than dealing with these cables. You just get a puck.
And I love my wireless charger on my 10.
It doesn't charge as fast as a cable with a high wattage charger, but it's still very convenient to be able to just set it on a puck.
Mm-hmm. I actually have a stand-up charger, which I like a whole lot better than laying it flat on the puck type.
You know, their goal for a long time was to have like a pad, like a mouse pad,
mm-hmm.
and you could just drop your equipment on the pad. And the problem was they could never come up with a design that allowed you to drop it anywhere on the pad, which is what their goal was. They had to overlay all these inductant chargers until the point where it was heating up and catching fire. And so they finally gave up making their own pad.
My Anker does have a built-in fan, and you can hear it running if it's, because normally I'll put my phone on there at night and just leave it there all night. But it does have a fan that you can hear running.
That's interesting. I have not seen one with a fan. I would think that's a bad sign.
Oh, I think it's a good sign.
Well, a fan can jam up and stop flowing air to cool.
Well, it could also burn up my phone because it gets too hot.
Well, we're in agreement then that it has the potential for getting too hot. So much potential that they put a fan on it.
Well, it's an Anker, and I've had it, knock on wood, for a bit.
Yeah. I would just be very aware of it.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's a very cool package.
It is.
And it's magnetic as well. It sticks to it.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's good.
That's cool. No, I just, because it's not passive cooling means that it gets really hot and it needs to be cooled off. And so that's just an indicator to be aware of.
A friend of mine bought one of those stand-up ones like that, and he said it gets really hot. That's why I thought mine with a fan was a better option than the one he bought. So.
Yeah, it's kind of counterintuitive, but some things get hot and it's within its tolerances. Other things get so hot they have to put a fan on it for it to stay within its tolerances. So if the fan fails, it's obviously going to overheat. Just a way to think about the way they design things. A lot the chips, the Intel chips that we run in PCs compared to the new Mac M1 chips, the Intel chips cannot rely on passive cooling. They get so hot they need a cooling system to cool them down or they're going to burn up. And so dust in the fans, the fan failing because of being a mechanical part and moving for an extended period of time, your climate, your environment directly affects the performance of the computer and the health of the computer because you need that active cooling system. If you are using one of the new MacBook Pros, it has a cooling system, an active cooling system. However, it's the M1 chip. It spends 90% of itself using passive cooling and only ramps up the cooling fan when you've been doing video encoding for well over 40 minutes. And then it finally starts turning that fan on. That's a much more efficient design than the Intel chipsets. Like that MacBook Pro, if you lost the fan on that MacBook Pro, you probably wouldn't even be aware of it. You'd have to be a heavy user using it for production to even be aware that the fan has disappeared. The MacBook Airs don't have fans in them. That's the big difference between the Pro and the Air right now, is that they didn't include the active cooling. So if it does get up to a temperature that would warrant cooling down, the way it cools it down is it slows down the CPU, so it stops being so hot. And that's your Mac trivia for the day. Welcome. Welcome to the Computer Club. Well, that's all very exciting. You're all so quiet, I can't tell whether you actually were listening to me or not. Maybe everybody fell asleep.
No, you've got a turtleneck on.
It's not a real turtleneck. It's attached to this shirt for some reason. But I do have a long sleeve shirt on and a new cap that Mom made me. Check it out.
Yeah.
It's a woolen cap. I don't think I'm bringing it to Mexico. I don't think I have any use for it in Mexico, but it's beautiful. So I put a topic on our list. I don't know if you guys have been following, but Microsoft just announced PCs in the cloud. We are very close. They've really announced them for corporation, but we think that it's just moments before they're going to offer them to us. And you can get a Windows-based PC in the cloud for a monthly price. Where's the article? It's as little as $20 a month. I don't know if this is ideal for us yet, but imagine your iPad Pro is your main computer, except for that old piece of Photoshop software you're using, or some unique way of using the internet that's only Windows compatible, and you can subscribe to a Windows PC now. Maybe it's for games. That's what I'm imagining, is that there's going to be people using it for games and proprietary software, and it's going to sit out there in the cloud. I mean, this exists right now, so you don't have to imagine it. You can go out and explore it. But you're no longer locked into maintaining a Windows PC. You could maintain just a Windows account and have a PC available to you on whatever device you're using at the moment you need it. Windows 10 right now, but it'll be upgraded to Windows 11 immediately. And you can price by performance. So I don't know if you can make it out on my screen right now, but there is three different tiers that are listed in this article. $31 a month for two CPUs, 4 gigabytes of RAM, and 128 gigabytes of storage. It looks like if you raise the price like $10 more, you get 8 gigabytes of RAM. At $66 a month, you get 16 gigabytes of RAM. I think we're almost ready for this. I think that there are things out there in the world that people are doing on a Windows computer that if that computer dies, they're not going to go out and buy a new Windows computer. They might buy a tablet. They might buy a Macintosh computer. The new Macs, you've heard me just rave about that technology. They might decide, all that Windows stuff I was doing, I'll just stick on one of these cloud computers and I'll buy a new Mac. And when I have to do the Windows stuff, I'll just go to my Windows subscription and run it as an application on my new device. That's what we're talking about.
There's a program that Apple has been running for years called Parallels. It allows you to put Windows software on the Apple computer and run it.
Simultaneously in a window as an app on the computer.
Yes.
Yeah. And there is some of that that's about to happen with the M1 chip. Have you read anything about Parallels running on M1 yet?
I thought I read something yesterday on it.
That will be, or if it's not at the moment available, it definitely will be available. But this is the concept of a Windows computer in the cloud. So even though that would be an alternative option for a Macintosh user, this is a PC that you can access from your phone, from your tablet, from somebody else's computer. This isn't locked into a platform like Parallels is locked into the Mac platform for running Windows. This is a PC that's out there in the cloud that you pay monthly rent to have access to, and you can access it from any location on the internet. That isn't even a unique concept. You know, actually, Amazon's been doing this for a while, and the business side of things on Windows, the Azure Cloud Services, I think I'm saying that right, A-Z-U-R-E. If you're in a corporate environment, you're very aware of Azure, whereas us consumers aren't so aware of their cloud offering for businesses. But they've had PCs in the cloud for a while now. This is a PC in the cloud. What makes this news unique is because it's being offered through Office 365. It's still being offered for business, but they're using a different kind of model. In the business model, in the Azure model, what they're doing is they're selling a corporation a pool of licenses. And so a business would have like 100 licensed Windows PC, and they would hand those licenses out to their employees. And the moment they started up, they would crank up a new virtual PC in the cloud, and that would become the employee's computer. In the Windows 365 model, it's per a subscription. So you, as a user, subscribe to a particular PC in the cloud and maintain that PC in the cloud. So your corporation isn't maintaining a pool of identical computers, but you're actually subscribing to one specific computer. Now, that computer is still a virtual computer tailored to your needs, but it's a specific computer. It's almost, I mean, they're so close to being the same thing. It's almost a different pricing structure is what makes it different. What's cool about it coming to Microsoft 365 is they're this close to being being able to offer it to consumers. And I think we all have something out there that would run on Windows that might be keeping us from moving off of that platform. There's something. I know for Chester, it's Photoshop. If he wanted to move to a different platform, it's much more difficult to think about getting out of Windows without having to upgrade his whole Photoshop environment to a different platform. For me, I use a couple of programs for the podcast that allow me to put titles and metadata, add a picture to the podcast. I don't know if you guys have ever paid any attention to it, but if you bring it up in Apple Podcast or Google Podcast, there'll be a piece of artwork there. There'll be descriptors on it, like the title of the episode, the name of the artist, which is the San Carlos Computer Club, a comment field that's full of the blog post. Well, I use a program that's only available on Windows that allows me to do that. If my computer blew up, I'd be looking for another Windows computer to do that stuff with. Maybe I wouldn't buy a new Windows computer outright. Maybe I would just subscribe to a computer in the cloud, load my software in that cloud computer, and then I'd be able to access it from my phone or a tablet or a window or a different computer, a Macintosh computer. It would not be platform dependent. They actually say that you can access it through a web browser. So this is a way of getting Windows onto a Chromebook. You might be able to run your 99% of your life off of a Chromebook, except for that 1% of things that still needs Windows. And that's going to be available or is available through this new offering from Microsoft.
Scott?
Yes, sir.
I just sent you an email with that thing about the parallels.
With parallels?
Yeah.
I can add that to our discussion. I see that it's right from the headline that it's compatible with the latest version of OS. I'm waiting for it to pop up, Brad. Here it is. Parallels Desktop 7 just released. M1 optimized. So this is for the new chip and the new OS. So if you have a Macintosh operating system and you want to run, wow, it's even optimized to the latest Windows 11. Don't let anybody fool you. Windows 11 is a thing. It just happened. So that is an option for putting Windows on your computer and running Windows using your hardware. And this with Microsoft is just a way of putting a Windows computer in the cloud that you can have access to. You know, another advantage I can see of the cloud computer is bandwidth. It could be very, very well that you're living in or working in a bandwidth constrained environment. Maybe you've decided to go do your work from a cabin in the woods and you have just the most minimal of internet. You could have a cloud computer out there that has a lot of bandwidth. It's sitting in Silicon Valley in a data center that has more than enough bandwidth available to it. You could be doing an activity like we're doing here, and you could stream. Maybe there's enough bandwidth for you to stream to that computer, but there isn't enough bandwidth for others to connect to your computer in the cabin. So what they do is they connect to that computer in the cloud. I can think of a half dozen scenarios where this would make sense. All of them feel like transitionary technology scenarios. All of them feel like those kinds of items, that one program that you can't put on your new computer. Or in this case, you've got 5 megabits a second, but your application needs 100 megabits a second. Those kinds of scenarios where you're waiting for technology to come in to take over what you were doing in the past. And until then, there's this cloud computer you can use. Anyway, that link's on the document. Here, I'll just, where'd I put it? I'll put it in our chat window as well. The Verge, it's from The Verge. I recommend a lot of Verge articles. I've probably said it before. They're always really a good read. They do a good job of making it relevant to your situation or your frame of mind. They don't talk down to you. And they try to make it relevant to any reader. So I really enjoy The Verge articles. That was the topic I contributed to our list. And we've got the Pegasus topic here. And we talked about the Olympics articles. Right at the beginning, we had a gold medalist swimmer from Alaska and 3 bronze medals won by Mexico. And those links are also in that shared document.
And I added one as well.
What did you add, Cheryl? Let me bring it up.
Well, if you have...
I don't see it here. Oh, Team Canada. You know,
since this
all right.
is the international medal.
Excellent. Cheryl added the Olympic medals from Canada.
One of the medals was won by a girl from Sherwood Park, which is the municipality that we live in. So.
Oh, really? Well, that's awesome. You must feel some kinship for that. Did I lose everybody?
Well, we had lots of...
I thought you were going to say you won a medal.
Yeah. We actually, our girls beat the U.S. girls in soccer.
That was a repeat conversation. That's old news.
It's funny you medals. I awarded a medal to Cheryl day before yesterday because she took our grandchildren to when we were visiting them, and she took my ex-wife as well. So I think she deserved the gold medal for that.
We didn't exactly take her, but anyways. It ended
up she tagged along. There you go. Anyway, sidebar.
Cheryl gets a gold medal for patience, apparently.
It was Space Jam. So I shared something with the group this morning on Facebook page, and it's a, I'll have to find it and maybe share it with you guys too, but it's a artist. They take all these pieces of art, you know, the Scream and all of the different Van Gogh and all these different pieces of art, and Roadrunner and Bugs Bunny, Hunter guy's name, the Elmer
Fudd. Yeah. And it wasn't Roadrunner, it was Daffy. Oh, come on, get your terminology right.
Sorry. Anyway, so they went running through all these different art things and all these things happened. But the movie we went to was Space Jam, and it's an alternate reality thing, and they called it the Serviverse. Like a service, a server, like a computer server, was the universe that all these characters ended up in.
So this is definitely the Space Jam 2021.
Scott, can you hear me? Say something?
I don't know if you can hear me. You hear me?
You're breaking up.
Yeah, I've got messages on my end saying my internet is unstable. I want to send my internet a message that shows the user unstable that is. So, Space Jam, I'm curious. Yeah, I haven't seen the movie yet. Did they make any references to the original movie?
Oh, yes. Quite a few. And that one was Michael Jordan.
Yes.
And this one is LeBron James. And it's very family-oriented, but it's very, like, they get digitized and held captive, and he has to play, you know, they're stuck in this computer world.
I don't remember the first movie. I don't remember the first movie having anything to do with computer servers. And so that's why I was curious if there's any references to the original movie.
Yeah, there is. There's references to it. And they get the wrong Michael Jordan when they were going to make their team. So
what they get the actor instead of the basketball player? That's funny.
Yes. Michael A instead of Michael B or something. Yes. It's quite neat. And I'm sure that the grandkids understood the realms, the universes way more than I did. The other grandma and I were kind of trying to keep up. So, yeah.
Well, is that your recommendation for today? Is Space Jam?
It's a lot of fun. You get to see, you know, Daffy and Marvin the Martian and all of the characters. And it's a fun movie.
Well, I was not even going to bother to watch it. But if you say it's fun, I think I'm going to watch it. I watched the original and I thought it was really bad. But I do like all the characters, and I have no passion for basketball. So throughout the first movie, I remember waxing and waning about whether I was enjoying this or if it was just too stupid.
Well, it's kind of funny, but you know, they have the whole point of it is that the young boy, LeBron James's son, doesn't want to play basketball. He wants to build video games.
Oh.
And so it's sort of like let me be me, you know, don't do me, do you, a kind of movie. So it's good.
That's cool. That makes sense for the tie-in with the computers. There's the Canadian medalists. This is the article that Cheryl just added to our shared document. Margaret McNeil, gold in the 100-meter butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a whole bunch of swimming ones. Yeah.
Now, Mexico got women's weightlifting bronze. Wow, that is a big girl. Look at that. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked because I saw this article finally loaded on my computer.
Yes.
Wow, how many medals did Canada walk away with? There's some silver medals.
I think we got 24 or something. Oh, I've lost it.
And it's all reclaimed metal. That's what we learned last week. The medals are made out of reclaimed metal from rare earth metals from e-waste. I went to add links to that information, and the article that was sent to me does not exist any longer for some reason on the BBC. So I went and found another article. But while I was searching for it, what I found was articles from 2019 describing the plan to make the metals from e-waste. They had announced it back in 2019 that they were collecting so many thousands of tons of e-waste so that they could make those metals. Which I found interesting. Well, if we're doing recommendations, I've been holding on to one since last week. This is both a podcast and a TV show recommendation. I've probably mentioned it before as a podcast. It's a podcast called Dr. Death. I don't know if you've seen it promoted as a new TV show, but it's a great podcast. And it's very different from the TV show. I've just finished watching the TV show the week before last. And the podcast talks about this true story of a back surgeon that is just a horrible back surgeon. He's got all the right accreditations. He's gone through all the right schooling. When you talk to him, he's got all the right information. He's explaining the correct procedure. But when he gets in the operating room, he's like a psychopath. He's hammering and screwing and putting parts in the wrong places. It's very disturbing. The podcast goes into interviews with the people that knew him, with the people that were left maimed by his work. He had over 30 botched surgeries. And if you are somebody that was looking at back surgery, this would scare the hell out of you. I think the scariest part about the Dr. Death story is how difficult it was for people that started, how difficult it was for people to know what was going on. But then the doctors that figured out that he was a real butcher, that there was something wrong with him, then the amount of time it took for them to properly report and get him to lose his privileges. It reminded me a lot about how we have problems getting bad police out of the police force. The way the doctors really do not like to second guess another doctor. What is this, Cheryl? You're out of here? With Dr. Death.
Yeah.
Don't forget it. It's a good recommendation.
Okay.
We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week. Yeah.
Bye, Cheryl.
Bye, Cheryl. So Peacock has produced a TV series. The podcast is interviews and factual, in-depth research into this topic, the number of people that were hurt by this topic, interviews with them, interviews with other doctors, and then the medical system and how it kind of failed at keeping this guy out of hospital. The TV show is a dramatization of this story, and so it's a different beast entirely. And so I enjoyed both of them. I think I liked the podcast better because it just had more information in it. But the dramatization's really good. It's got Christian Slater and Alec Baldwin playing the two main doctors that finally brought it to the light of prosecutors. So this doctor could be brought up on charges. Even being brought up in charges was a really complicated thing because you don't typically charge doctors with criminal neglect. And so they didn't really have any kind of laws to charge him with. Seems like what they ended up charging him with was elderly abuse because he did such a crappy back job on somebody that was a senior. And that they have for abusing elders, there's laws against that. Well, I guess Linda's gone now too. And she's back. We lost you for a second, Linda.
Oh, I keep losing the internet.
Well, anyway, anybody else have any recommendations? I think we're starting to wind this down. We're losing our guests with our own.
Well, I have one interesting thing.
Please feel free, Linda. What do you got?
It happens to do with immigration in Mexico.
Okay.
You know, since we moved, we no longer have a Mexican plated car, but we have Permanentes.
Okay.
So I wanted to find out what you do if you want to go down to Puerto Vallarta. So I thought I'm going to go to the horse's mouth. So I called Nogales consulate, and she gave me the phone number in Phoenix that has to do with this. So I called Phoenix and I emailed them, and yesterday I got my answer. It doesn't matter if you have a Permanente. You can go to the kilometer 21 and get a six-month visa and get your car permit. Or you can do it at 98, but you still have to get your six-month visa at Nogales.
So you're saying that it's not illegal with a Permanente to get a six-month visa?
Correct. I've got it right here from the lady at Phoenix, the lady from Phoenix, because as I said, Nogales gave me her phone number and I called her. And it says, related to your email, you have three options to get the permit for your car. You can get your personal permit or FMM at 21. And after that, you can get the car permit right there.
Wow.
Or you can go to 98 and get the car permit once you have your FMM. So the last option is you can make an appointment at the Phoenix consulate, which I wouldn't drive up there to do, and do the same thing. And all you do is bring your passport, your current car registration, your appointment, and that's it. So we can, no problem now, because we thought, okay, we're going to have to give up our Permanente to be able to go past 90.
Wow.
So
would you send that email to me?
Sure. I just sent it to Becky to tell her too.
You know,
She's been doing that for years though.
Huh?
It sounds like this email is like official, sounds like official permission.
Yeah.
Like from the way I understand it, if you're a Permanente, you're supposed to give up your car because you're living in Mexico, kind of like on a green card.
You
but it sounds like
in Sonora.
I'm sorry?
Sonora doesn't have that law.
We're in the free zone.
We're in the free zone. That's right. And so I've always thought that we were taking advantage of the free zone. We're really not supposed to be driving Mexican or American cars with Mexican Permanente.
Right.
That's kind of what I thought.
That's the way I've understood it. And still your permission email sounds more like, well, that's a different system.
Correct.
It does.
But I'd love to have a copy of that email too, because then if I got any grief from an immigration officer, I'd be like, the consulate told me to do it this way.
Right.
You have my email address, right, Linda?
It didn't change, did it?
No.
Okay. I'll email it to you, and I'll email it to you, Scott. So that makes me happy now we don't have to, because we were thinking, well, Bill was going to go give up his Permanente.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we'd just be able to get, but we don't have to now.
I want to be able to just go to Alamos. I don't even care about going farther than Alamos.
Right.
Well, the frustration is that you still have to deal with that. You have to get the Sonoran only, or the all of Mexico. Don't you still have to get that in Nogales?
Well, you can get it at 98, but you have
as
to get an FMM.
You have to get
your visitor visa.
Well, what's 98?
You have 98 is Empalme.
Oh, okay.
South of Empalme.
So can you get all of Mexico in Empalme now?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Always.
No, you weren't able to before.
Yeah, I've always done it.
All of Mexico?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or you can do it all there at 21.
Well, this
Yeah, that's where I thought you had to do it.
You do it all at 21.
You have to turn it in at 21.
Correct. Yeah. That's
and you can't go past your 6 months before you turn it in,
right,
Scott?
Yeah, right. That's the way I've always understood it, is that you could only do it at 21 and you had to turn it in at 21. You could only do it for 6 months.
Yeah, six months. But you have to get the FMM at 21 also.
You have to get a visitor's entry.
I wonder how that's going to work if I'm down longer than 6 months.
Then you have to bring it back.
Get another one.
So I'm there 7 months and I go back and turn it in. I'm in violation of my FMM.
You're going to lose your deposit. Remember, when you get the sticker, depending on the year of your car, like if you have a newer car, I think it's like a $500 deposit, yeah. And you want to get your money back.
I just got my brand new car.
You did?
I did.
What'd you get, Judy?
It looks just like my other one. It's a 2021 Ford Explorer.
Oh. Congratulations.
Looks just like my other one. Yeah.
Is it a hybrid?
No. Well, no. It's got that awful system that automatically shuts off at a stop sign and then it starts back up. But there's a button to disable that. So
yes, I have that.
I hate it.
I disable it all the time.
Yeah.
I disable mine too.
Mine at the border.
It feels like somebody's bumped into the back of my car.
Exactly. But see, I have a button that I can turn it off. So that's part of I put on my seatbelt, turn on the car, push the button, and then go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
I have it in a Toyota.
Awful. I did hear at Ford, though, that they're getting so many complaints about that. They're thinking of maybe the next year, the 22s, or maybe a little past that, the mid-years, they'll get rid of that function. Oh, so have it work the opposite.
Is the thinking behind that you use less gas because it turns off?
Right. Yeah.
Which is ridiculous because you're starting back up again.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned. They told me it was an emissions issue more than anything, but I think that's baloney too. So.
Oh, well, if you're in a place where you stop and go all the time, then it would save you gas. But if you're starting your car and getting on the freeway, it's meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I just had a thought. You know, they probably have a metric on how much pollutants are created by sitting at stoplights, and just by insisting the car turns off, they can raise their environmental right? So all of a sudden their car doesn't emit as many pollutants because it turns off every time you stop it.
I asked them if they could, they meaning Ford,
yeah.
I said, can you disable this for me? And they said, no, we can't.
Yeah, Toyota also.
Yeah.
But that the emphasis was on the we can't. So,
yeah, so you can press the button.
I could do it, I guess.
If you want to lose all that environmental good consciousness and lower the fuel economy, then you can disable it and just let it run all the time.
It does not lower your fuel economy.
To disable it?
No.
So it's not saving you gas?
No, it's using more gas.
It actually uses more gas.
What they told me at Ford, yes. Yeah. They told me that at Ford.
Why would you turn it off if it's going to use more gas?
Because I don't want it to do that, and it uses more gas when it shuts off and on all the time.
Right. Why would you design a car that shuts off and on all the time if it uses more gas? It seems
like
really
you said,
odd.
To get a better EPA rating.
But if you're using the gas, then you would think that you'd have a lower EPA rating because you're producing exhaust every time you use gas.
The default is that it's on. You have to physically turn off the...
Sure. Yeah. I get it. I mean, I don't understand the premise of why, but...
Let me tell you the worst thing. The worst thing is not the nuisance of operating it that way. The worst thing is if your battery dies and you go back to the dealer to get a new battery, it's a $500 battery.
What?
Really?
Because it's a deep draw battery. So if you have a car like this and it's 3 or 4 years old, sell it before the battery dies.
Wow.
Well, or have them replace your battery after a year and a half, which is, I should find that article about the things that your mother always told you or your father always told you to do about your car that are no longer valid, like checking the tires with a penny and that your battery should last 5 years and all that stuff. They're no longer valid.
Hey, how do you check your tires with a penny? I've never heard that before.
I guess you're too young for that.
Well, my father wasn't mechanical. Anything mechanical I know about the car, I had to learn on my own.
It's the tread depth, and it shows like on Lincoln's face or something. I don't know.
All right.
But it's not valid anymore.
Yeah, because treads have changed so much, and they wear differently, and that's really interesting. That's really funny.
A lot of places, it's the age of the tire that determines whether you replace it or not.
Hey, I had to buy all new tires for our minivan that spends all its time down there in San Carlos climate, and the tread was beautiful. It was just the radial was ripping out of a rotted side of every tire because they were just
old. They'll sell those tires to a Mexican, so.
Right. No, I had a Mexican go, oh, you can drive on those. Like, they're rotting away, not because of use, but just because of climate.
Oh, this is the article. Thank you, Judy. Judy has put this, don't waste your money. These common car maintenance myths are no longer true. This is what she was just talking about. What mom and dad taught you may be out of date.
Now that I know how to do that, you see, I learned really quick and I remembered it for longer than 10 minutes. Well, that's anyway, I'll see you guys next week.
Okay, Judy. Later. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Where'd everybody go? Bye, Linda. Bye, Fred. Bye, Paul.
Bye.
They're all gone.
I'm going to go too.
Okay. We'll see you guys next Tuesday at 10. I'm sure I'll be back in San Carlos by then. We're heading back on, let's see. Yeah, I'm probably heading back on the weekend. We fly on the 12th, get in on the 13th, and we're going to hang out in Arizona for a little bit before heading back. But we'll definitely be back in my home studio office by our next meeting, which should be Tuesday, August 17th. Until then, tech on.
Okay, adios.
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 See you, Fred.
Okay, I found my microphone. See you later.
Bye.
Have a good week.
You too. Well, that was the San Carlos Computer Club for August 10th, 2021. A little, I don't know, flaky around the topics, but you know what can you do? Some weeks you got good stuff, and other times you've got too much stuff and it has to be put off. I don't know what I'm getting at. I'm just trying to end this thing. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. You can see my web address there. I help people with computers all over the internet. I do remote administration of servers, routers, and PCs, as well as Macintosh technology. If you have computer issues in your life, I would appreciate it if you get a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net. If you're looking for remote help, remote@internationalcs.net. If you're interested in the computer club, you can see that information right now on your screen. It is sccclub.org, or you can find us on Twitter @sccclub. We have copies of these recordings. They're also available on YouTube. We've also got a podcast out there. Search iTunes for the San Carlos Computer Club or wherever you find your podcast. Until next Tuesday at 10, tech on.